continue to be in prayer for all the ones that's on our prayer list. We've got people that need your prayers and be lifting them up. I just found out yesterday that the news is out about a young man that I pastored in Mississippi, about 45 or 46 years old. I found him dead yesterday morning, sometime yesterday. And he used to spend a night at our house some. Him and Danny and Darren were about the same age. And it's a troubled world. It's a troubled world. And you know, we hear so much, and I thank God for positive preaching. We hear so much positive preaching, but I want to tell you something. There's a lot of troubles. And regardless of all the positive preaching we hear, there's troubles in this world. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can help us through our troubles. There's things that doctors can do. There's friends that we can talk to that will help us at times. But there's some things that we deal with that only God Himself can help you through. We better know Him. We had better be close to Him. Life is full of disappointments. Life is full of hurts. Life is full of a lot of pain. You better know Him. You better be close to Him. And the way that we do that is that we got to kind of set self aside. Not completely, but you can't put yourself above Him and what He wants for your life. We got a problem with that in this nation today. We taught self-gratification in every area of our life. But God teaches different. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, and we'll read verses 34 through 38. It says this, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." This is Jesus speaking. "For I have come to set a man against his father, a father against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Now, what he's not saying here is that you got to fight with your daddy and your mama and your brother and your sister, and y'all got to fight in order to get to heaven. That's not what he's meaning. He's meaning this. Somewhere in life, if you're going to be worthy of Him, that means worthy of going to where He is and spending eternity with Him. Somewhere in life, if you get there, you have to make a priority. I believe that's what he's saying. You have to line up your priorities. Now, I've been in this a long time. I have found few people in church that ever lines up their priorities. They have priorities, but it's a priority. The wife is the number one priority. The children is the number one priority. The family is the number one priority. They have priorities. But according to this, their priority is not lined up right. And he says, if your priorities are lined up in any other way, you're not worthy. Do y'all get that? Everybody that says, "I'm going to heaven," is not going. In fact, the scripture says that few. Whew, you scared me. I thought the Spirit of God had got on you over there. Whew, that's all I heard. She's sneezing. You need help with that. But our priorities, and we don't take time to just sit and dwell on it. We sing these songs. They were sitting there a while ago, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm thinking, man, how good Jesus is and how good he's been to me. And how many, I remember old Brother Mac. How many of you remember Brother Oscar McDuffie? I remember him standing right here and saying to this church back years ago before he passed on. He was 80 at the time he said it. And he looked out here and he said, you boys out here, I wasted 40 years of my life. How many of you remember him saying that night? I wasted 40 years. I'm 80. He said, the first 40 years, I did what I wanted to do. I remember he kind of walked around over here like this. I did the first 40 years my way. He said, then I met Jesus. He said, the last 40 years, I've done it his way. He said, boys, I want to tell you something. The last 40 has been better. That old man got a hold of something. This old man got a hold of something. And his name was Jesus. And I remember Martha and I setting our priorities. I wasted a lot of years. I wasted probably about 30 of them myself, off and on. I was a hit and miss kind of Christian. You ever seen hit and miss Christian? They fired up for a while, they dead for a while, they gone, and you don't never know. They just every little wind, they just. I was that kind of guy. And I didn't really mean what I said whenever I was talking about all how great God is and how I want to serve and all that stuff. You know, a lot of times I was just being religious according to what group I was with. We're always religious with a religious group. And I said, you know, I've got to set my priorities. Martha, we sit down and had a talk. We got to set our priorities. And I remember telling her this. I said, Martha, you can't be number one in my life. Now, guys, that'll get you in trouble with your wife sometimes. But it didn't get me in trouble with mine. I said, you can't be number one in my life anymore. And she said, I know. And I said, I can't be number one in your life anymore. And she said, I know. I said, I want you to put Jesus number one. I'm going to put him number one. Because I want to be worthy. I want to be worthy to stand before him. Look at me, little flock of God. Look at me. Do you want to be worthy? You're going to stand before him. I am. You're going to stand before Jesus. Think about that. Will you be worthy? I think about that a lot. When you take up your cross, you got to be willing to be nailed to it. Crucifixion, our Jesus was nailed to his cross. Crucifixion was one of the most hideous forms of death ever devised by man. How many of you saw the movie The Passion of Christ? That was horrible. The most graphic, horrible movie I had ever seen. I can say this, when I left that movie house, that theater, I was physically exhausted. Every time they hit him with that cat of nine tails and they popped and that flesh would bust open and the blood would flow out of him, I would say to him, don't hit him anymore. Don't hit him anymore. You've made your point. Don't hit Jesus anymore. Could I be halfway right if I told you, if we don't take up our cross and be found worthy, we just bust him open again because his love for us is so great? Do we might rub salt in the wound that he has already taken for us? But yet Jesus is calling us to take up our cross here and follow him. What is he saying? Well, number one, the man who took up his cross was going to a place of death. Back in that day, he was going to a place of death. He was saying goodbye to his world. The world that he lived in, he was saying goodbye to this world right here. He would never see his loved ones again on this earth. His old plans and pursuits, they were finished. I remember when God called me into the ministry to be a pastor. Boy, we had plans. They were finished. We didn't get to follow many of our plans. We didn't get to do most of the stuff that we wanted to do. They were finished. We were saying goodbye to this world and the things that we loved of this world, we were saying goodbye to them. And we were being nailed to the cross to do what he wants us to do. Back in those days, when a man was going to the crucifixion, he was reaching the end of his life. But yet in Jesus, get this is the first step of freedom. Matthew 16, 25 says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it." Hudson Taylor said this, "Have we lost our lives for him? We know the Lord Jesus became fruitful, not by bearing the cross merely, but by dying on it. It's easy to sound religious and holy, but how many of us have really died to our will and our way? How many of us has really set up a priority? Jesus, I'm going to do everything within my power to be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do." I'm not saying he's calling you to preach. I'm not saying he's calling you to leave you and go to the mission fields. But he's got things. If the church, the people that are Christians, would just be found worthy on this earth, that would do just what Jesus wanted them to do. We're living in a day, it's just hard to even get people to church. That's the least he's asking us to do, is come worship him. But it's just hard. Why? Because our priorities say, I've got plenty of time to do that later. I've got time. But while we've got plenty of time to do all that later and be a witness for Christ, the people that you could affect is dying. This young man that I just said, pray for his family. His brother preached right here, Mark Ferguson. I remember when I pastored him. I went back yesterday when I heard of his death, and I went back and looked at my records. And I baptized him in April. Baptized him on April the 9th. What month is this? April. And I look back and counted the years that I held that boy in my hands. And a thing came to me. That he had trouble with his priorities. And I remember he went off and he got drunk and showed his Rudy Tootie. Y'all know what that is. And his best friends, one of his good buddies, was my boy, oldest boy. And the other boy, Darren, was hanging in there fairly close with him. And I told my two boys, I said, y'all can't go off with him no more. I said, you tell him. Y'all through with him till he straightens up. If he straightens up, repents, you can start hanging with him again. This is where your children start hating you, huh? So they told him. Quit church. He did. Oh, gosh, I wish. If I had a dollar for everybody that quit church because they got offended over the truth, I'd be a rich man. And he quit. Got mad with me. I think it was 3 years later. I was down here. Pastoring. I got a letter in the mail from him. I said, Brother Tom, I just want to tell you I'm sorry. I've been mad with you for years because you wouldn't let Danny and Darren have anything to do with me because of my drinking and getting drunk. He says, but now I understand it. He said, forgive me for being mad with you. He said, it was my fault, it wasn't yours. I was the one that was wrong. And I understand that you wanted to protect your children from becoming and getting into trouble that I was getting. And his letter just blessed me. I think that's the only one I ever got in my life. Of somebody writing me a letter and saying, I'm sorry that I got mad with you. Nowadays, they just put me on Facebook and tell everybody that they're mad with me. The crucified man was done with sin. Because dead men, they don't sin anymore. When a man sets his priorities right on this earth, he will most likely slip up sometimes, but because of the lining of his priorities, whenever he does mess up and he does blow it, he repents and he gets his life back right with God quickly. He just doesn't live in the debauchery. He just doesn't live... I remember way back years ago, Jimmy Swaggart told a story about a guy, and I can't remember his name. I want to say his name was M.L. Trotter. But the guy, whoever it was, and if I got this guy's name wrong, God forgive me, and everybody, if I got him wrong, I hope you know better. But this guy was a drunk. And how far down you can go. This guy in the community was a drunk, and his baby died. And he wanted a drink so bad he couldn't get one. Nobody would sell him because his credit was no good because he just blew everything on alcohol. And he went to the funeral home. And he went up to the casket of his own child, a little three-month-old baby. And he looks around and he catches nobody looking. And he reaches down and he steals the shoes off of his dead baby's feet. Puts them in his shirt, leaves the funeral home, and goes down the street to a bar. Sets the little shoes of his little dead baby on the bar and said, I want to trade you these shoes for a drink of whiskey. That's sorry in it. How do you get that way? Easy. priorities was never set, that Jesus was going to be ruler of his life. Later on, he got saved and become a preacher. And from what I hear, did an awesome job, from what I've read and heard, for the kingdom of God. What did he do? He went from a man with no priorities, a man that was not worthy to stand before God. We're never really worthy, but we're made worthy by the shed blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. It's the only way that we're worthy. And he made that. He made that peace. The crucified man willfully walks off and leaves the sin. The crucified thief could steal no more. The murderer could kill no more. The flesh had been nailed to the tree. Over in Romans, I want to read you a verse of scripture in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. It says this, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." Whenever we line up our priorities and give our heart to Jesus Christ, we're free from sin. I come into this little hole up here. It's called a baptistry. And I bring people, and they march down here, and they come into this water, and I take them like this, and I put them under. Whenever they go under, that means the old man has died. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been nailed to the cross. Bless God. I am being made worthy to stand before him through what he did on the cross. And this is a symbol when I go into this water that I'm a dead man. And whenever I bring him back out, it's a symbol that he's been crucified with Christ, he's been raised with Christ, and he's now a new creature in Christ. So simple of a message. The gospel is so simple, but yet so hard to live, because we got an adversary called the devil that tries to pull us down, and he tries to show us and paint a picture of everything sinful and everything that's disobedient to God and everything that would draw us away from God. He paints it a pretty picture for us to draw us and entice us to it. You got to have your priorities set not to go to it. All of it is not bad. God will bless us and prosper us. And we'll have money that we never had before. And if we don't watch out, we'll buy toys that we never had before. And if we don't watch out, those things that God has blessed us with, we'll wind up becoming our God. And those things that we're not willingly knowing it, those things we're not sinning. We're just enjoying life, but they take our priorities away from us. I had a guy that was here one time that God had blessed him and was blessing him and is came and talked to me. And I said, look, he stand a chance to make a lot more money. And I said, look, what you see is ching, 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 dollar signs. But let me ask you this. Now, I want you to look at this. I'm not telling you don't do it. I'm not telling you don't take that. I just want to ask you this. How often are you going to be able to go to the house of God and worship God with that? Is it going to take you away from God? Because if you don't hang with the people that keep you strong and you don't get a chance to go to the house of God, even though God is blessing you and you're making more money, but you're not ever going to be there to enjoy, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to you down the road? Listen, if not being there with your family, not being being able to be at church, you're looking at cha-chings, 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 but look at your children down the road whenever they are married and they leave home and you've been out of church for 14 years or 15 years. What's going to happen? Is it worth it? Young people, A lot of times you do not think beyond the end of your nose. Think. What's more important? I tell you what's more important according to Scripture, being found worthy to stand before God. That's what's more important. Now, one of the most aggravating things as a pastor is you can preach it and preach it and preach it, and people don't do it. They don't get it. I have felt like before I could just get up behind the pulpit and say, Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Amen. Let's go. Done just as much good as preaching about the blood of Jesus, preaching about the priorities, because people have other priorities and you cannot invade their space. They will not let you come in. They'll not let the Spirit of God come in and bring conviction. Don't you invade my space. He's saying here it ought to be his space. It should be his space. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 and 7 says this. 5 through 7 says this. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. He's saying, man, if we don't set our priorities, trouble is coming. And when trouble comes without Christ, you're in serious trouble. Taking up the cross is the ultimate form of self-denial. Luke chapter 9, 23 says this, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We'll quote Hudson Taylor again. He says, denying the self means saying no to other desires, whatever the consequences or the cost. A.W. Tozer said this, and he stated it so clearly. It's not that people don't want God. It's that people found something they wanted more than God. That's true, folks. It's not that people don't want God. They have found things they want more than God. We are determined to have what we want most. I find that true. We are determined to have what we want the most. But is what you want the most going to make you be found worthy when you stand before God? Listen, I've thought about death and the consequences of dying. And I've discovered that all of us will. We're all going to die at different ages. Some are dying in the spring, some are dying in the summer, some are dying in the fall, and some are dying in the winter, but you're going to die. If you walk out of this building today and you got the gall to say, I'm not ever going to die, you're a nut. Plain and simple, you're a nut. You're going to die. And the Bible says after death is a judgment. And we're going to stand before a righteous and holy God. And he's going to ask us about our priorities. The cross is the only way to resurrection. Nobody wants to die. Nobody likes to suffer. But John 12, 24 says this, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. I just want you to think about producing many seeds. You see, Chris got mad with me when he wouldn't let Danny hang with him. But after he had a few years to think about it and got a little maturity on him and growed a little bit, he come back and said, I understand why. I understand why. Why? Why did I do that? Because my mind went back to when I was a teenager when my dad wouldn't let me do things. And that group I wanted to go off with that Friday night after football practice at Fruitdale, and my daddy said, you're not going to go, and my lips pushed out like his did at me and got mad. And whenever they come and knocked on our door and said, go tell your uncle and aunt, told my daddy, said, go over there and tell them their boy's dead. He just got killed in a car wreck down at Citronelle. I was so wanting to be in that car with them. I was so mad with my daddy because he wouldn't let me go. There was four in the car, and there was two died and two lived. But I discovered in 1965, I was in the 10th grade. I didn't have sense enough to make those decisions for myself because I hadn't lived long enough to see other people die like that. What was my daddy doing? My daddy wasn't a religious man. My daddy was trying to teach me, son, you have to set priorities. You can't run with everybody. You can't hang with everybody. You can't be a Christian and hang with the unchristian. You can, but they're going to pull you down. We said, Brother Tom, how am I ever going to win them? Invite them over to your house, and you set the terms of the visit. Invite them to your house, and you furnish the drinks, and it's iced tea and coffee. Bring them to your house. Love on them there. Let them know up front, now, hey, I'll come to your house. But look, now, if there's going to be drinking and other people are drinking and cussing and carrying on. I was at a place Friday. I had a doctor's appointment. And the lady I was talking to at the doctor's appointment, the doctor said, next time you come, bring your wife with me. I said, I can only bring my wife with me if I can bring my wife in the office with me because I'm not going to leave her out in that waiting room because there's a bunch of bad talk going on out there, and there's some crazy folks out there. I said, I'm not going to leave my wife out. She said, that's why I got two chairs in here. I said, all right, if she can, next time I come to see you, I'll bring her. What am I doing? I'm looking out for my wife. What was I doing as a dad? I'm looking out for my children. You look out for yours. When we started church, we said, we better teach our children that when Sunday comes, it's the Lord's Day. And we go to church. Now it's optional in 2018. Church is optional even for the older Christians. It's not optional. For me, it's not optional. I tell you what, it's the priorities has changed so much. Just stop and look at America and see what direction she's going. As America goes downhill, she's following the church. She's following the church. Everybody wants to, somebody wrote a song one time. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. It was a country and western song. Said, Brother Tom, you listen. Hey, I like some of them. Yeah. We love the power of God and its gifts. I tell you today, church, we first must die before we can possess any power. God can only raise up dead men. Look at the Apostle Paul as I'm closing. He prayed without ceasing. He preached without fear. He raised the dead. He kicked the devil daily. But what was the key to his life? 1 Corinthians 15:10 tells us, I worked harder than all of the apostles, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me kept me serving him. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, as for me, I die every day. That was Apostle Paul. Tom, I want you to come. I've learned that the devil sets snares. I was watching a Western yesterday evening. I like Westerns. And this guy rode his horse off into quicksand. And they were on a cattle drive. And there was one guy, he was the ramrod. He was the head honcho of the cattle drive. And there was another guy that agreed for the trip and recommended him, but he agreed to the trip that whenever they sold the cattle, he would have one fifth of all the cows that were sold, and he would get the money for one fifth. And these guys kind of rubbed each other the wrong way. There was egos involved in all this. One was a ramrod, and one got him the job. And he rode off into the quicksand. And the camera would show him, and he's sitting on his horse. Got on his hat. Got his pistola. He's sitting on his horse. And his horse is just sinking. And the old bike guy that's got the filth of the cattle rolled up, and he said, "Hey, man, throw me a rope and get me out of here." He said, "I'm not concerned about you. I'm just concerned about my one filth." You don't make any difference to me. And he rides over the hill. And he put the camera back, and the horse just kind of got the nose sticking out. And the guy comes back, his conscience wouldn't let him go, and he comes back and he has his lariat. He takes his rope and he pulls it out there, and that fella puts it on, and before he goes, he reaches and he pulls out his old pistola. And he's still sitting on his horse, and he shoots his horse right behind the head and kills him. Why? Because the horse was going to die anyway. He shoots the horse right behind the head because the horse can't get out of that quicksand. Guy wraps the rope around the horn of his saddle, and he drags him up the hill, and he gets him out on the bank. And man, he's so thankful. And he survived. Now, the horse had got him all the way across all of those miles. Horses, what got him there? He drove that horse. The horse goes where the reins are pulled. I've been a horseman for years. He put that horse in that quicksand. He thought it was just water. He couldn't get his horse out. 1,200 pounds. You can't pull him off the horn of a saddle. The horse is doomed. And he shoots him behind the head. I tell you that story to tell you this. Wherever any of you are today, you're there because God is the horse that got you there. You steering where you go. And you take him with you. You take him sometimes places he don't want to go. Moral of the story is this. Christians, don't just get to a point one day you just shoot God behind the head because you're in a jam and quit. Just gonna quit. Look at the empty pews in this place. People just quit. Some of them I know. They quit because they did not want to line up their priorities. Conviction would come. We're living in a day. Let me tell you something now. Some of you don't like this kind of preaching, but I'm going to tell you this. If we don't get this kind of preaching back, this world is doomed. Because the people, men are preaching the truth, but it don't bring conviction. We need the Word of God that brings conviction back so people start repenting and coming back truly to God and lining their priorities right. Because we got people coming to church that's listening to the truth. Jesus loves you, he always will. And Jesus will love you. Jesus wants to bless you. Jesus wants to do good for you. They listen to all this stuff and they walk out and they're still living in adultery when they go out. And they're still living in adultery when they come back in next week. They're still living a life of a mess. But they never hear that it's a mess. Well, Brother Tom, they know it's a mess. Well, it takes a conviction of God to convict them to quit being a mess. I'm telling you, hard-headed folks, something. Yeah, they're preaching truth, but that truth they're preaching ain't bringing conviction. Some of you have been suckered in on it. When I preach, I say, well, he's just an old fogey. You're going to find out one of these days that the old fogey, his preaching may have brought some conviction on people that kept their soul from hell. And it may be your children. And it may be your grandchildren, because your children told your grandchildren the truth. Morning, and you've been saved, and you know you've been saved, but your priorities is warped now. You've let the blessings of God take you out of church. You let the blessings of God, you don't need him anymore. You've gone through all that stuff. You need to do a hook slide down this altar. Go, shoo, slide in down here to the altar and say, God, forgive me. Yes, I'm saved. But God, I have not set you on the throne of my life in many, many weeks or months or years. And God, today you've convicted me. And God, I want you to forgive me of my sins. I know I'm saved. But God, I want you to forgive me of my sins. And God, I want you to wash me and cleanse me. What's it going to be? Going to be just another day? Just going to go to the restaurant and eat another meal? And just brush off any conviction that God might bring on you. I'm telling you, it's going to affect the children. If you're here and you've never been saved, you've never been born again, you need to come and say, Pastor, he's talking to my heart. I want to be saved. He's talking to me. Get up out of your seat and come right now. So if you're a man, I'm going to send a man in the back with you. If you're a woman, I'm going to send a woman in the back room with you. They're going to pray with you in private. I'm not going to embarrass you up here in the front. But I'm telling you this. Today's a day for change for some of us, because the conviction of God is on us. But God's a gentleman, and God will not force you to do anything that you don't want to do. God will not force you to change your priorities, but there's coming a day that you wish you had. As I pray, listen, the Spirit of God is going to talk to you here. You better listen to that. Father, in the name of Jesus, the people that's in this place this morning, Father, you've convicted their hearts that they need to put you on the throne of their life. And that you're going to be number one. And you're dealing with them about that this morning. The devil's coming and he's saying, nah, it's going to be over in a minute. You ain't got to set through this misery of conviction in your heart. Get out of here and you don't have to go back. What good is that going to do them, Lord, when they go to hell? Show them, Lord. Show them. Show them, Father. Show them. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we're living in a day that the church comes to get and the church don't come to serve. The church just comes to the church to receive. God, help us to leave and help us, Lord God, to say, like, I want to be a servant. I want to win other people to the kingdom of God. I want to serve. I'm tired of just being tired. Then help them, God, to surrender to you in Jesus' name. Now, what you going to do? What?